Welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Stars with the potential to have the best start in 18 years, and joining us from DallasStars.com, it's their senior writer, also a terrific podcast he does with Daryl Razor Ray called Podman Rush. Live from Washington, it's Mike Hyka. How are you, Mike?
I'm here on the ground.
Right. So we know players' routines. What's Mike's routine? You know, you've been on the road for so many years, and we've talked about this in the last podcast, that I think you're the most senior writer of writers in the NHL. Is there a routine that you settle into? I know that the players love their naps. What does Mike Hyka like as far as going out to dinner, getting room service? How does that work?
Yeah, I stay in the hotel mostly. I used to be a guy who would walk around, and it's a little chilly here, but I think I might tomorrow afternoon walk around Washington, D.C. That's a pretty cool city to walk around. But a lot of times I just stay in the hotel room, watch sports on TV, talk to some friends, and get my own nap, get some extra sleep at night.
Yeah. Hockey news just came out, and the Stars ranked number one in their rankings. Pretty awesome to see. And basically they said through four games, there are no faults of this Stars team. That's really impressive.
Yeah, Pete would disagree, obviously. I think if people who heard him after the game last night, there were some things that he would like to iron out, and that's every coach.
Yeah.
But they are in a very good place. And I wrote a column the other day that, you know, I think we all come in here and think, okay, if this works and this works, and let's put Dumba with Haskinen, and let's see if Wyatt Johnston can fit with Hintz and Robertson. And you come up with all these plans, but then to me, the key is, how do you adjust? Because things are going to go wrong, and yeah, they already have. You know, Dumba's out, Tyler Seguin missed a game, and you have to adjust. Players have to play with different players, and coaches have to coach different ways. And I think the key to this group is they seem to be really good at adjusting.
I guess one of the questions is, and tough to talk with such a great start, but the power play and the struggles in the playoffs last year, preseason is preseason, but not a great preseason on the power play. And then kind of the struggles have continued through four games.
Yeah, I agree. It's an interesting thing. And then again, we talked to players last night about it. Matt Duchene was of the mind that they actually had some pretty good things going on the power play last night, and they just couldn't finish. And that was kind of how the Edmonton series went as well. They had great chances. They just didn't finish. So it's a process. Losing Joe is obviously going to hurt quite a bit. Just because I think the last three seasons, he led them in power play points. Robertson may have been in there. I think he led them in power play goals. But point being is he was a key part to the entire power play, and now they have to adjust. And I think Wyatt can fill that role. I think Jamie will probably go to the front of the net a little bit more. And it's a process of learning how to do that. They have so much talent. Like, their second unit could be as good as their first unit a lot of given nights. And that's pretty rare in the NHL. And Duchene was saying earlier in camp, you know, there's a little bit of competition between the two units of, hey, we want to score. Hey, we want to score. And, you know, that's kind of what they're doing. And the thought process is it'll all work out. I think they were eighth last year. I believe they also started very slowly then, like 4-46 or something like we were all screaming at Steve Spott early in the season last year, and he seemed to iron it out. So the thought process is that they'll probably do it again this year.
Really enjoying watching Colin Blackwell. Your thoughts on the free agent acquisition? I just feel as though, I mean, Mike, you've been with this team for a while. A few years back, it just seems that it was first line, then second line, and then, hey, hold until that first and second line can get back out into the ice. And now I'm watching this fourth line, and it's just fun to watch.
Yeah, they bring the energy. I think that's the big thing. I give a big thumbs up to the pro scouting staff, because you look at Sam Steele, and they got a chance to look at him in the playoffs. when he was with Minnesota. And I'm shocked that Minnesota wouldn't keep him. And because he makes $900,000. I mean, like, he's a bargain.
Yeah.
He does so many great things. And now, boom, they basically have just gotten another Sam Steele and Colin Blackwell. And we're only four games in. But, like, if those two can create chemistry, create speed, create scoring chances. The scoring chances are interesting because Dodonov has created a ton and hasn't finished. And I just look back to the guys like Radek Foxa who was the guy before that, went to Chicago and is now in Edmonton.
Dickinson.
Created scoring chances,
yeah.
but couldn't score.
Yeah.
Matthias
Janmark.
Janmark.
Yeah.
Yeah. But part of being Steele and Blackwell is at some point you're going to have to put the puck in the net, which they have once already. So if they can continue to do that, then they will be an amazing line. If they just create chances or put the puck in the right, I mean, that's what Radek did. And that's one of the reasons Radek made $3 million. But, you know, at a certain point, I think you get tired of a guy who creates a bunch of chances, but doesn't finish. So it's a bit of a caveat, but I you can't be disappointed with what they're doing right now. And obviously Oscar Beck has been really good too as a rookie.
Yeah. It's fun because I was thinking this just kind of on the fly, the three of those players equal Radek Foxa as far as salary. And I know it's just kind of a small item, but when you're Jim Nill and you're managing this cap, we kind of have to take a step back for a second and say, wow, that is pretty great. Like you said, by the scouting staff, by the assistant GM, by the GM, by the capologist, as far as putting that together where a fourth line is really effective and some of those other players are effective, which allows you to pay others.
Yeah, and it's going to be even more important going forward. As,
yeah.
You know, we've seen with Rope and with Miro, Jason Robertson's probably going to go over those numbers and Wyatt Johnson's going to come close to those numbers. So getting those guys in here and potentially keeping them for, you know, more than just a year or two, because they're in their 20s. I think Blackwell may be 29, 30 in that range. The point being is they could do this for 3 or 4 years if they're the right fit and do it at a really good price.
With your experience covering Jim Nill and this current Stars management, I've kind of talked about the possibility of sitting down with Jake Oettinger's camp based on that number's going to be around Swayman's number, you know, no matter what he does. But with his play recently, and I know it's just four games, my fear is that might continue to go up. We haven't seen what Shesterkin's going to make. Obviously, that'll be the top salary. Do you think the Stars are going to approach that camp or just wait through the season?
It's a good question. If I were the Stars, I would definitely approach them.
Yeah.
If I were Jake's camp, I think I might wait.
Yep.
Because what's on the table for Jake this year is Four Nations Tournament and the potential to be USA's top goalie, you know, a potential run in the playoffs where, you know, you get to Stanley Cup final or you win the Stanley Cup. And if I were him, I would wait and say, I'm betting on myself. Yes. I like Swayman's numbers, but, you know, I think I might could get more. Like, I don't, unless he really just fell off the table, like with what he has done is better than what Swayman has done.
Yeah.
So you kind of think that 8 point whatever is the base for what Jake might get.
At least forward. Eight.
So if I were his candidate, I would bet on myself and think that I might get more than that, we'll see. I will say this. I know he, obviously everybody wants money and his agent is going to take care of him, but it just doesn't seem to matter as much to him. I think he just wants to win. And if he wins, then the money will take care of itself.
I love his calm demeanor. I think sometimes when he's like, you know, down or not having the best game, people kind of think that's just, I don't want to say laissez-faire, but you know, it's just, that's Jake being Jake. And you can speak to this, Mike, like going great now, he has the same demeanor as if he's struggling.
Yeah. And in fact, I actually think he might be a little too hard on himself sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
obviously in you know, at stretches where he, you know, has been up around 3 or 2.28, 2.9, or his save percentage has been about, you know, 91, 92, in that range, or 901 or 902. You know, he should feel bad about it, right? But he does. I mean, like he eats himself up more than the goalie coach does. He really gets upset with himself when he's not playing well. I understand people thinking, oh, he's not taking this seriously or whatever. He does. It really bothers him. But he's got an interesting take on life in that, one, this is a game. He believes this is a game and you should enjoy a game. And two, he likes to be happy. He naturally wants to, you know, have that exterior where he's nice to everybody and, you know, is not biting people's heads off or anything like that. So I think those are things that, you know, I think people see, oh, he just quote unquote doesn't care. He cares. But he has a personality that's very light. And so that comes off that way sometimes.
Petrovic gets the call up based on the injury situation defensively with Dumba. Just to clarify, just wanted to put that out there. I think a lot of people do know it's based on, you know, they want Bixel to get minutes in Texas.
Correct. And not just Bixel, but I think the new guy, the veteran guy who came in as well. They know what Petrovic can do. They know that if he sits around up here for a little bit, that it won't affect his ability to play. And so that's the key in it all. The other thing is he is right-handed. And so if you do want to put him in and, you know, go with three righties again, although that would be kind of weird with Labushkin and Nils, because then you'd almost have two righties on the same pairing.
Yep.
So point being is they know what he can do. This isn't anything to say that Bixel, you know, doesn't deserve a call-up. I think what they saw with Thomas is that when he was down there for 50, 60 games, it really helped him. And Thomas even said when he came up, because he had been up and down before, that he really was hoping nobody got hurt because he didn't want to come up and go down and come up and go down. So I know that Bixel probably has he's calling himself Bixel now.
I know.
That we heard from before said Bixel.
Beck, I mean, they just, it's fun. You know, right. I was talking with Steven Meserve down in Texas, and he's like, wow, well, he changed his name when he came up.
Yeah. So it is what it is. But Bixel, he might not think he needs this, but I think the organization thinks he needs this. And I think they're right. I mean, he could be great, but we've also seen in the preseason games that he made mistakes, a lot of mistakes. And so I just think it'd be better for him to work those out in the minors and also playing on the power play and playing on the penalty kill. And those are things he might not do in the NHL right now.
Stars probably didn't play their best last night, although I do want to give stick tap to San Jose. That's a young and upcoming team. And even last year when they struggled, they, you know, played well against this Stars team. But just watching last night, I mean, it was a fun watch. And I always tell Stars fans, like, I understand you want to go see Edmonton, like, on Saturday and teams like that. But don't leave out the San Jose's, like a Carolina or just a team that's not necessarily in the news as much, because these teams have some really good marquee players.
Yeah, and I thought it's funny because I know Pete and a lot of the players were not exactly excited because of the amount of turnovers they had and turnovers that led to goals. But they outshot them at 38 or 36 to 20-something.
Yeah.
Their shot attempts was like plus 25. And they did a lot of good things in that game. The 5-on-3 penalty kill was incredible. They didn't get shot on goal. Play in the 3-on-3 overtime. I thought Dallas, you know, had the better chances, had the puck more, and then going 3-for-3 in the shootout. I mean, those are all good things.
Yeah.
And, it's just game four and, you know, yeah, it's only San Jose, but you take each step and, you know, hopefully you learn from it and get better at different things. And I thought they did that last night.
A lot has been talked about as far as the miles that the Stars travel. And I did look at the schedule and I'm like, okay, Washington, then back and then kind of back, on the East Coast. So it is fascinating, and the schedule makers have to do what they have to do, and a lot of it is based on the crunch schedule this year. And the legs, I think Pete DeBoer, if you could talk about this as far as load management in the organization, knowing that these players have so much travel. There's such a disparity between as far as what the Dallas Stars have to travel compared to other teams. I know Finland plays a factor, but it is pretty amazing, the travel schedule.
Yeah, and every coach who has come here has said that Dallas has one of the worst travel schedules in the league. And every coach has had to try to adjust. They want to practice more. Pete especially has said he wants to practice more, but he understands that, there is, load management. There is downtime. There is fresh legs that they have to get. Knock on wood, they've been very fortunate with not that many injuries. But that also creates the problem of, okay, now your best players are playing every night and they're having to deal with the schedule. This East Coast, like as we flew out here today, I'm like, this is really weird for a one-off.
Yeah.
You'd think it'd be a Nashville or a St. Louis or whatever. And then you turn around, come home, and then you come back to Buffalo and Boston.
Yeah.
It's just like, why wouldn't you just make these three in a row and then go back for two home games?
I agree.
Whatever. Yeah. But it is what it is, and you just have to deal with whatever they give you.
How are Mike Hyka's legs as far as back on Podman Rush, appearing on Victory Plus, and quite the appearance, by the way, during the preseason? Got a lot of rave reviews on that.
It was fun. I will tell you that. I used to do this stuff more where they would have me on an intermission or things of that nature. And things just have kind of changed with Bally's. And so now we're getting to Victory. And so that might be something different. I would love to do it. I enjoy doing it. I love the Podman Rush. Any chance I get to talk hockey is fun. So I would love to do more of that. But they're focused on doing a really good game production right now. And I think that's a smart move by Jason Walsh is, let's get the first core block and make it perfect.
Have you ever had to...
once they do that... Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just wondering on Podman Rush, have you ever had to write down a razorism and look it up after?
No, it's funny. I interrupt him because I typically know what he's saying. And like we sit next to each other in the plane. So he throws these words. That's just his normal way of talking. And he looks stuff up. And obviously on the last Podman Rush, I blew the ties joke, which upset him to no end. Basically saying that the league hasn't had any ties since 2004, 2005, because now they're not wearing ties on Victory Plus TV.
That's right.
I'm going like, you mean like Sean Avery wasn't wearing a tie? And he's like, no, because the actual tie score went over my head there. So, yes, he and I connect a lot of times and don't connect a lot of times. So it is what it is. And I think that actually makes the podcast more fun sometimes when it doesn't work out.
When do you think's the next time we'll see Casey DeSmith?
That is a great question. We were asking about that in practice the other day.
I was just looking at the schedule.
I think Boston, Buffalo is potential. And then I think you have to see him in one of the games in Finland because they're back-to-back.
That probably is. That is the back-to-back. So before that, they're playing every other day. So it is a kind of a grind, but there is a day off in between. So I know they want to load management Jake, but it is kind of interesting when we'll see him again because you want to get him some work too.
Yeah, and I would think Buffalo might be a good game for him, but we'll see. I mean, they always have their own plan and their own way to do things. Clearly, they want Jake to play against the Oilers because of last year. And, I think that's the right call. And then we'll see what they do after that.
Well, you are a beast. I hope room service is excellent. I hope you enjoy your walk tomorrow. Hopefully you packed like a hat because the East Coast is getting hit with some cold weather. Drastic back
it
here in Texas.
Here.
Yes. We were in the 50s this morning.
And I will say this. I always tell people, we are so lucky to travel with the team and stay where they stay.
Right.
It's very easy to travel this way.
That is awesome. Well, We appreciate you so much and keep up the great work. It's Podman Rush and it's you and Razor Ray. It's a great podcast. A lot of stars information there. And obviously you can go watch Mike Hajka and read his stuff and follow him on Twitter, DallasStars.com, the senior staff writer. Thank you so much for joining us on Spits and Suds live from our nation's capital. This has been great.
It has been great. Thank you, Gavin. It's always fun. And like anytime you need me, I'm ready to go.
Absolutely, Mike Hajka. We truly appreciate it. And thank you guys for listening to Spits and Suds. We appreciate you. We'll be back with another episode soon right here on 105.3 The Fan. Have a great day, everyone.